This is Electric Sisterhood, podcast episode number 370. If you own a game and enjoy that game, you're a gamer. Home of the best.
The fucking best.
World gaming, tech gadget, and anime podcast. I am Ninja Sister.
And I'm Pandalicious.
Welcome to a brand new episode of our weekly podcast, Panda.
Hello there.
What's going on?
I'm just recouping.
Recoup?
Yeah.
Recouping?
Yeah.
Not cooping in?
No, I'm recouping in.
That's what's up. Sometimes you gotta recoup after you've had a weekend.
Yeah, yes.
A day.
A day...
That will live in infamy.
A day that leaves you crying, laughing, and trying to hold in a fart for...
That's a day. Literally
40 minutes.
Wow.
It was gruesomely bad.
Wow.
I'm glad no one noticed how much I was straining, and...
So that the people don't get lost here and just think that you're grody, why don't you explain what you did?
Okay, so, quickly... Arisia was this past weekend.
And what is Arisia?
And Arisia is a sci-fi convention that is held here in Boston. It was at the Westin this year, so I know last week I was talking about it being at the BCEC, and technically it was at the Westin Waterfront, which is connected to and next to the BCEC, so it wasn't entirely faulty. However, Friday night, I, along with a great, fantastic troupe of radio performers, put on a gender-swapped version of a great Star Trek episode called The Trouble with Tribbles.
My nerd boner just was like, bling!
Yes. So think chicks, radio, a Foley team, think plushy balls of fur, and yours truly, an integral part of the plot.
Yeah, so, except for the Foley team, you just made it sound like you were doing a furry porn.
It wasn't a furry porn.
I know, but what you described...
If you haven't seen the episode, then yes, you would think that. But we were filled to capacity. We had to turn people away at the door.
That's awesome.
And, yeah.
It just means you was popular. Oh my god, Pantalicious, you was popular.
It wasn't for me. This group has done shows for Arisia, I guess, for a while now. And... there were so many big names in this production in particular. Though, as I take a small tangent, let me just ask you this, Ninja.
When have you ever taken a small tangent?
It's a medium tangent. Can I take it?
Take it.
All right, so when you're seeing a production,
yes.
Usually you save your lead for the last in the credits.
Yes.
So I came second to last in the credit.
Yes.
So
would that mean...
stuff.
Yes, you go in the order of bit players to main players.
So they made me a main player? I'm not a main player.
You were! Haha! Surprise!
I'm not, though. But anyway, if you've seen the episode, I am an my character is integral to the plot, really, and it's because of her, you know, troublemaking, or rather, I guess in the original, his troublemaking.
Your troublemaking.
My troublemaking.
Their troublemaking.
That,
trouble is just being made.
That trouble happens. Trouble,
when you have tribbles.
Trouble multiplies. And then trouble actually ends up being a savior at the end of it.
Yeah, tribbles.
Sort of. And,
tribbles, man.
But
tribbles.
Anyway, there will be some video, I think, of the performance. And once it's up, I'll easily put it on our site. But
easily? You're gonna blanket it. It's gonna be the one post that actually gets done all the damn time.
It's like... Did you know I was in this show? Here's this video. 20 minutes. Did you know I was in this show? No, it won't
just
be.
Just in case you missed it.
Here it is.
On every freaking social feed that we have.
Here it is in a different filter, because I thought this added more.
I just made a Tumblr page for ESH just so I could put this video up.
I wouldn't do that.
You tumble it.
We already have a blog. We don't need a micro blog.
Thank you.
But anyway, we are getting a reprisal, so if you're in the Boston area, eventually when those dates get released, I'll gladly, and if not me, I might even encourage my esteemed director and some of my acting cohorts to come on the show and actually talk to us a little bit about that.
What?
I'll talk to you about that after the show.
Yeah, that'd be great.
I'm totally setting shit up.
I would really like to be a part of that.
I think you should be, as you're 50% of this company.
Important.
But when that just reprisal that comes, I know you guys will hear about it because I will.
You won't have a choice.
You won't have any choice at all.
Nope.
Though, if I have to say anything else about the event of
Friday. Oh, you must, Panda.
I do. So, I don't know about you, Ninja, but, like, if you are part of an organization.
I am.
That.
Several.
Well, if you're a part of an organization that, say, really, really, and this is just an example, say you really love Star Wars.
Yep.
And you're going to a convention with a whole lot of like-minded other people who are not a part of your organization of particular people who really like Star Wars,
uh-huh.
but you're around people that you like.
Uh-huh.
You find out that on the roster, there is a gender-swapped version of Return of the Jedi being performed.
Uh-huh.
Would you, say, reach out to that particular troop and be like, hey, we should commingle with each other, and like you should come to all of our Star Wars themed parties, and you should talk about us at your at your show, and we should like be social media friends. Would you say that'd be an accurate statement? Like, would that be something you would strive to do?
Let me try to put this in English that maybe I understand and make sure I'm following.
I make perfect sense.
No, you make panda sense. That's a different thing. So let me just make sure I've got this right. So what you're asking me is, if I and a bunch of cohorts who have a single commonality in passions.
Like, say you're like the it group of people who like
We fucking love Star Wars.
Yeah. You love Star Wars so much.
We go to an event.
And
that's
you,
all about. Can yeah. I?
Sorry.
Thank you. We go to an event that's all about the sci-fis and stuff. And as we're looking at all the wondrous sci-fi things, come across a listing for a group that is doing a gender swap version of a episode one, let's say, of Star Wars.
And by episode one, you mean episode three, right?
Yeah, sure. Pick them. I mean, one, three, whatever.
Okay.
All right. Because if you love Star Wars, you have to love the prequel trilogy, too. Oh, that hurts when I say it. All right, anyway. And we're like, hey, wow, this is kind of amazing. We should, like, reach out to these people. See what's going on. Let's go see this thing. So we go see this thing, and then we're like, oh, my God, we should totally do stuff with these people. We should, like, introduce ourselves, and we should, be, like, commingle, and we should go to their events, and they should come to our events, and we should, like, be friends and stuff. Is that what you just
asked? Yes.
That is a reasonable thing to do.
Okay, well, that did not happen. That didn't happen on Friday. So, there is a particular organization, kind of rhymes with Schmarfleet, Barfleet, and they are all things Star Trek. So, you would think...
Well, not necessarily. If they didn't care for what you did, they might be like, ugh.
Well, that's the thing. Apparently, we had some people from Barfleet actually attend the performance and really dug it. And we were waiting for Barfleet to announce where their party was, because they were kind of slow on where they were going to have it. And when they finally announced it, we decided to send probably the best representation of what we did to see if we could, you know, get on that list.
Well, just because a couple of people in their group like it doesn't mean that, you know, one, they have the power to influence anybody, or two, that, you know, as a whole, they liked it. Or, you know, you got to remember that there are some groups that, you know, basically just want to have a ball of candy and do their own thing, and they don't want to be with anybody else, because if they were going to be with anybody else...
We said Hot Spock!
Yeah, you know, not everybody's down with Hot Spock, Panda.
Well, you haven't seen this particular Spock.
I mean, you should be. Whenever there's Hot and Spock put together, you should be involved, somehow.
You would think.
But that doesn't mean that... Hot Spock's not for everyone.
Anyway, we were denied... party times, which was kind of sad, but we made our own party.
Wait, you didn't get into a party?
Oh no, we had our fun, but right, we didn't
then
get.
Don't say you were denied a party.
But we didn't get into Barfleet. But whatever.
I don't know what that even is, and why you're down about it.
Because it seems like it should have been the reward at the end of the Star Trek rainbow.
Why?
I'm just saying.
Why?
I'm just saying.
What? Why should they be all of a sudden like, you should be part of our company?
You should want to hang out with us. We have common interests. I got friends, you got friends, we should all be friends.
Not everybody works like that.
Well, I wanted to be friends with them.
So then you should have gone and introduced yourself.
Anyway, whatever, I don't want to be friends with them now.
Oh my god, that is so mean. Because
I'm petty! No, I'm just kidding. I'm just kidding, Barfleet, if you're listening.
They're not.
Let
me just clear that up for you.
Now it's going to be really funny, because if we get an email from Barfleet, I'm totally saying, yes, they do. It's like the Illuminati, but it's not. But it is.
Totally not the Illuminati.
It is not. But anyway,
Which is not an organization, by the way.
It's not real.
Nope.
It's totally not real. Totally not real.
Not a thing.
Nope. Anyway, so it was a great performance. It will come back, and I encourage anyone in the area to come and see a phenomenal group.
And that area is northern New England, by the way.
Yeah, so this is very local. I mean, if you want to fly out here...
It's hyper-local.
I mean, if you want to fly out here to come see it and come see
me... That's on you.
I'm telling you, if you got the time and the monies, then make it so.
If you got that kind of time and money that's burning a hole in your pocket, why don't you hook us up with a PlayStation 4 so we can review it?
Well, I mean, I'm, you know, not going to call people out like that.
Well, but I'm just saying, instead of flying out to see your...
I would like people to come meet me, but that's neither here or there. Saying. But needless to say, Arisia, for the day that I was there, was absolutely fun. My stalker showed up, which was eerily creepy. But that got squashed, so I have to thank the friends who were floating around keeping me out of harm's
stalker
way.
Stalker-free?
Keeping me stalker-free.
Oh, yeah.
Which was
that's
nice.
The way to be in 2014.
Yes, yeah, stalker-free. Absolutely. But that's what I did this week.
That's
and
nice.
I know you had a company party that you went to.
I did. You know, my day job. I love them. Those peeps. Seriously. They got my heart.
They get you.
They get me. I get them. Good
they
times.
Understand.
Instead of having a holiday party during the holiday season, our company owners were like, let's be smart. Let's have a party like in the middle of winter and have a dead of winter party. So we have a reason to celebrate like after New Year and after the holiday and all that kind of stuff. And we'll have like nosh and drinks and we'll just, you know, mingle and stuff. And we're like, fuck you, yeah, let's mingle. So it was a really nice time. Traffic was crazy because of your event. But that's okay. That's
I know. Right. We were, like, in an Uber car for, like, an hour.
That was, like, the most expensive Uber that I've ever...
I know. And now, I went and got an Uber account after that, because you can split fares with people. Yes. So now the next time we take Uber cars together, we can just split the tab, bro.
That's what's up, bro.
But, anyway.
So, that being said, had a great time. Absolutely loved it. Talked about nerdery. Like, a lot of people didn't know that I had a podcast. That was kind of fun, you know, because many times in my company, not all of us get to mingle with everyone, so it was really interesting to talk with people who I've really only had, like, small 5-minute conversations with, because we don't really work on the same accounts and things like that.
Right.
So it was really fun to see people's faces, like, light up, and I'm like, no, I have a podcast about video games. I'm like, wow, you're into video games? I'm like, yeah.
Tell by my awesome decor?
Well, you gotta remember, I don't have a lot of decor on my desk in my new job, because I don't really have an office.
Right. Oh, so they all, because they would have been able to see it if
you
had an
like,
office.
If I had my freaking Gears of War statue on there, there's kind of no getting around it. But it was really interesting to see people's faces, you know, first go, oh, wow, you're a gamer. Oh, wow, you're a serious gamer. Oh, wow, you're a serious gamer that has a podcast. Oh, wow, you're a serious gamer that has a podcast that's been running for 7 years. Like, as the stages, like, of how committed... And how much of a gamer I am roll out. It was very interesting to see, like, whoa, wow, that's like...
We didn't understand.
What?
But we get it now.
That explains a few things. So, that was really fun to have those conversations and talk with people. And, like, oh, I game too. And, like, oh, what was the last game you played? Peggle. Peggle's a game. Peggle's awesome.
Isn't Peggle 2 out?
Yeah. But there are people like, no, it's not really. It's like a cat. I'm like, no, casual gaming is gaming. Like, if you spend money on a game.
Whether that's $1, $10, or $60.
And you enjoy that game, you're a gamer.
That's it.
Go for it. So that was really fun. I enjoyed it. Anytime I get a chance to pop into town is great. I was trying to catch up with our friend John from Game Flack towards the end of the evening, but we just weren't able to kind of line it up because he was in a different part of the city. But hopefully we'll have John on the show pretty soon to talk about Game Challenge and how well that went. So, that being said, I guess it's time to stop talking about ourselves. Start talking about some games and stuff, right?
So we should start talking about games and ourselves?
Don't we always talk about games ourselves?
Yeah, that's what I thought this whole show was fucking about.
So, I'm going to start off with some news, which, as you guys know, we're not typically a news gaming podcast, in that it's not the state of the state and all that kind of stuff. It's really what we like to do is just have a conversation about what we're playing and what we enjoy about it and what we don't enjoy about it and, you know, share that with you. It's our fun time of the week. However, some news came out this week that, frankly, we just can't avoid talking about, and
I have no idea what you're talking about.
That's because you don't pay attention.
I know.
Okay? You follow some of the same people that I follow on Facebook and on Twitter. You should have seen this. This is kind of a big deal.
All right, I'm paying attention. Why don't you tell us about
it? So glad you're paying attention now.
Well, now I get to experience it with our audience.
All right, so Nintendo.
Yes.
Finally came out and said.
Oh, no.
Basically, in so many words.
That it's gay? I'm glad it came out of the closet, no, finally. No,
that the Wii U, not doing really what we wanted it to do.
Are they scrapping it?
No.
Of course not.
But, neither is the 3DS. So, because they had to announce their earnings, and announce real late on Friday, trying to keep the stock from
plummeting.
That it had to cut its net profit forecast from 55 billion yen, which, you know, is basically $527 million, to a net loss of 25 billion yen. Because the sales of the Wii U and the 3DS fell real short of its global targets.
Ooh.
So not just its Asian, European targets.
It's global. It's
that's everywhere. Oh. So everywhere it didn't sell like they thought it was supposed to go.
Oh my. Uh-oh. Okay.
And that a big dip in software sales was also going to happen because the previous forecast for 38 million Wii U titles was cut in half.
Ooh.
Basically.
That stings.
Yeah, it hurts. It hurts a lot. And for a couple of reasons, right? One of the things that we've talked about before is that I love Nintendo characters.
Right.
But
and who doesn't? Link, Mario.
But I'm not always in love with the Nintendo hardware. For instance, I loved my GameCube. I really did.
Was your GameCube purple?
Yeah.
Didn't you give it to me?
Yeah.
I still have it.
Yeah. Now, GameCube. Love that system. You could use storage disks. It had four controllers, you know, ports, so you could really multiplayer in your living if you wanted to. Cute games, nothing wrong with that system. Okay, it used the mini disc format, so you never mixed up a Nintendo game with any other game or content or DVD or music CD or anything like that. And it was a good system. The graphics looked really well, and the controller, although it was a little
wonky looking,
well, I'm
hard to get used to.
It took a little bit of getting used to, but once you got used to it, it felt right, made sense, not a problem.
So it had a learning curve.
Yep. And then when they switched to the Wii, it was different than that system. Completely different, which whenever you're overhauling your hardware, it should be. But, again, it was a new learning curve. However, it was backwards compatible. So I could put my mini disc into my Wii, which always made me nervous because
I was always worried I would put it in the wrong way and it would get stuck and I would never get it out.
Well, you know, I always worried about that as well, because slot loading typically hates mini discs and would cause issue, but it's how I was able to play Piano 3 for so long, which is one of my more favorite GameCube games, and I was able to continue enjoying my games because it was truly backwards compatible, and I enjoyed it. But for me, many of the things that people kind of in the community had the hue and cry around as far as things that they wanted their Wii to be able to do that they put into the Wii U, they weren't things that I was dying for having on my Wii U. I didn't need my Wii U to be a DVD player or a Blu-ray player. I didn't need my Wii necessarily to get on the internet because Nintendo's never really figured out how to do network play other than the ad hoc on the 3DS, which, you know, at times is challenging, to say the least, to get to work right. So I wasn't really drawn to the Wii U. As I've said before, the only reason why I bought a Wii U is because Bayonetta 2 is exclusive to the platform. If it was going to be available on any other platform, I would not have purchased
the console.
I would not have done it. Wouldn't have happened. I'd still have my Wii U, in its box, in storage, in
gathering dust.
Yep. And I would have only pulled it out as necessary. Basically, when a Zelda game came up or a Mario game came up. But, you know, the casual sales game is very difficult for Nintendo now because you have such a strong showing from iOS and Android. You know, Nintendo is now no longer the only handheld game in town. Whether you're a casual gamer or not, the PS Vita, if there are a couple of games over there that you like, it's not a bad system. It's light, lightweight, can play cloud-based things, so you're not having to bring around a whole lot of discs that you're having to change in and out and have storage for. There are a lot of positives to be said for the Vita, and you just can't beat a device that functions as your communication hub, meaning it's your phone and where you get your emails, also being able to play a lot of the types of games that you would play on a separate handheld. You know, the games that I'm typically drawn to play on handheld are puzzle games. I like brain teasers, I like puzzle games, and tower defense games when I'm mobile, because they're easy to play on a smaller screen. I don't have to have a whole lot of detail in order to get the understanding of what it is that I need to do and what I'm playing. And so to have that on my phone or on an iPad that's on me all the time is much more convenient than me carrying a separate gaming device that, at its core, all it does is gaming. Yeah, it has an internet browser, but it's very difficult to manage, and so I don't at all. And so, for me, even though I have a 3DS, mainly what I play are a couple of the games that I got for being an ambassador, which is the Super Mario Brothers game, and the Four Swords Zelda game, and I play Animal Crossing on it, and that's really all I play on my 3DS. And I turned my Wii U on for the first time in over 2 months, because it was a system update. Went in to go and purchase the Super Mario game, realized that there's no difference in price as far as whether or not I buy the disc version of the game or the download version. Decided, fuck that noise. If I'm going to pay full price for a game, I want a disc.
Right. That makes sense to me.
You know, especially because Nintendo still hasn't worked out all the bugs yet for when you make a purchase.
Oh, on the Nintendo store?
Yep. If something happens and you lose it, you've got to repurchase that again. You don't have to download it again for free yet.
If it's your problem, if it's not the problem on my side, I'm not paying for it again.
You know, so I decided that I really want it on disc, so I'm hoping that somebody will give it to me for my birthday.
Are you talking to me?
What? No. What?
Are you sure?
What?
I mean, your birthday is fast approaching, very much like the increasing of your age.
You know what?
Love you, bro.
You are starting to lose that douchey thing that you're supposed to be working on.
I think you should embrace it. It's a charming number.
I think that we shouldn't talk about my number.
Alrighty, we won't.
But for me, you know, I look at the system of how you purchase games. The eShop is not the most intuitive shop on the planet.
No, it's not.
The fact that I can't recover previous purchases for no additional cost is a big, big wow.
That might have been their way of trying to recoup some of that loss that they have.
That there's no discount for purchasing a digital version of the game versus...
Oh, I think there should be. If you don't have a tangible box or case or whatever...
Or booklet.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It should be.
If you look at purchases on the Xbox store or in the PSN store... There's it can be as little as just a $10 difference. I have seen outside of a big sale it be as much as a $20 difference. But there is a difference because they realize that you are relying a lot on their system when you purchase a digital version of a download. And so, you know, when faced with, well, I'm going to pay this price for it if I walk into a brick and mortar and pick up a disc, as I am if I choose to download it, plus I'm not going to be able to immediately play it if I choose to download it, because I have to wait for it to actually complete the download before I can play it. Whereas with a disc, I can put the disc in and I'm immediately playing it. If I don't have a motivator as far as price goes, I'm more than likely going to opt to just get it in the store. And that then kills the impulse buy, which is what digital is really designed to do. It's designed to get you to sit there and look and go, oh, this is attractive and I could get it now, as opposed to getting in my car and going to the store and waiting in line and finding the game and giving it to the cashier and checking it out and coming back home and opening it up and putting it. The impulse buy is supposed to be spurred by the fact of, oh, I can click this button, put in my credit card, download it, and play it now. I've eliminated so many steps and so many barriers, and because it's $10 less than if I were to go out to the store, okay, I'll do it now. That's what the buy now on demand cycle is supposed to do, and it seems like Nintendo has completely disavowed knowledge of that. I was going, no, we're not going to give you a discount. No, we're not going to give you experience servers to speed up the download of the program. We're just going to make you kind of sit there in silence and suck it.
Yep, you're going to lick my boots because you want my shit.
And unfortunately, it's bitten them in the behind because they're down
a fuck ton of yen.
25 billion yen.
Several buttloads of yen.
You know, smart devices have eaten into this area that Nintendo used to own outright.
I know.
Okay. Even though Sony has a handheld system, it's never sold the way that the Game Boy systems have.
No way.
And the games don't have the same cachet, even though they're very good games that are available for the PS Vita. They still don't have the cachet and instant draw as the games that Nintendo has. But a lot of people are talking that, you know, because they've suffered such a big loss, that maybe it will now finally spur them to open it up and allow their characters and games to appear not just only on their handheld system, but open it up to the smart devices. Because Nintendo lost 18% of its stock share value on Friday after the announcement came
out.
And the little bit of time that was left between when they announced their news and when things pulled, 18%. That's a lot of value to lose in a day.
Yeah. Ooh, I feel like they touched steam from like a kettle, like, ooh, fuck that steam. Literally. That's the impression I get. That's not good. They're hemorrhaging fast.
Yeah. So, you know, my big thing is, I don't need every Nintendo game available on iOS or on Android, but I do think that it would be smart to bring a lot of the Virtual Console content to iOS. So that's not just the 3DS. At this point, I think you need to be smart, and I'm not necessarily saying cut and run, but you've got to be smart. And so if the market and the audience are on their smartphones and are opting less and less into buying your hardware to play your game,
then maybe you should make your software killer apps and call it a day.
You need to make... Well, I don't think that there's much more that you can do to Mario or Zelda or Pikmin to make them killer apps. You either love them and follow them on whatever platform
they're on. Or you don't play them at all.
Or you don't play them at all. But for those people that do play them at all...
Don't forget Metroid. Don't forget Sheamus.
Yeah. They may already have a platform that they can play those games on, so they don't have to opt into a new one. So, you know, maybe you kind of take the role that Sega went when they realized we can't play in this park of hardware and software anymore. The thing that we really, really do killer is software. So we're going to focus just on that, even though our hardware is great and at times ahead of its time.
It was ahead of its time.
We're going to be smart and we're just going to focus on our software and take our software to all platforms so we can recoup that money. And that's how Sega stayed alive.
Do you feel like Nintendo? Do you think Nintendo would allow themselves to do that? Because I think they're too prideful. I don't think that they.
I think Nintendo. I agree with you. I think Nintendo's too prideful to do it, but it's the smart thing that they should do in order to save themselves. If Nintendo focused completely just on being a software company, they'd kill it across the board.
I don't think we're going to see that happen. I actually think I think we're going to lose the big three, and it's going to be down to the two.
No, because there's no way that they would not be able to make some kind of money off of licensing the Mario, Zelda, Luigi.
But then it won't be a console war anymore because it's kind of hard to think about.
No, you still have a war because you still have Microsoft and Sony duking it out.
Yeah.
And no clear winner between that. Okay. But I think that I would much rather have Nintendo become a software house and thrive
Then try to play both and suffer on both sides.
Then completely go into the obscurity as far as console goes. Just focus on the big gaming part of gaming that they do.
Yeah.
So the pinball machines and things for slot machines and gambling and Plinko and things like that. I would hate for them to just become hardware-wise that division and completely move out of the software game other than creating software for those consoles. Then the alternative, which is them just becoming software. I would much rather have them license out and have Mario games and Luigi games.
They need more Luigi games, that's for sure, because Mario's had several years ahead of him
on that. All up and down iOS and Android. I would much rather have Nintendo all up and down both of those platforms than not on any platform at all.
I completely understand, sis. So, I'd like to see that happen, but, you know, who's to say what's going to happen in the next few months?
You keep hemorrhaging money like that, your stockholders will force
They'll force something to happen.
And if you don't do enough, they'll put a new leader in place.
Yep, they'll get rid of you and get someone who's going to be a yes man and do whatever they need to do to win.
You know.
Or succeed, so, whichever word actually fits their better.
I hope that Iwata-san is able to survive.
Oh.
And that Nintendo's able to come back with something that works. And I think what's going to work is going to be the software push.
Well,
think about it.
I look forward to seeing what happens.
I love Mario.
I love Mario.
Okay, and I love Zelda. I have yet to pick up the Super Mario game, which I tried at E3 and loved.
Oh, the one with the cat suits.
Mm-hmm.
Super Mario World 3D!
Okay. And I've read everyone's reviews. I've read our own team's reviews of them. Sounds absolutely up my alley, but I haven't picked it up because it would require me turning on my Wii U. If I could play that game on my iPad, I would have bought it day one.
And I didn't play Zelda Skyward Sword.
Wow.
I didn't play it. And I played the fuck out of Twilight Princess, as you know.
Oh my god, yeah. I almost finished Twilight Princess.
I finished Twilight Princess.
I didn't.
I did.
But I watched the video of the ending on the YouTube.
Oh, cheater.
No, because I eventually get to a point where I know that I'm not going to finish a game, and then at that point I'm like, but I really want to know what happens.
But the ending feels so much better when you've gone through all that.
I agree.
And then Minda is fucking hot.
I completely agree.
When she turns back into her regular form, I'm like, you've been riding on my back this whole time? You?
That's because you're a little bit pervy.
And now you're going back to your world and I can't get back there ever? Fuck Zelda. Fuck real Zelda. I want to go there.
Zelda never dates me.
I want to go to there.
I save her ass in Hyrule all the time.
And she's like, no.
Never, ever dates me.
She lets me see side boob, though. Like, once she
lets
me see side boob.
Everybody see side boob, though.
Yeah.
It's like not even anything special.
She's like,
Ganon got to see it.
Yeah, that's right. True.
Okay?
I know. She needs to do something.
Can somebody just finally make a Zelda game where at the end of it, Zelda at least, like, deep kisses Link for saving her? Anybody?
Somebody?
Fry? Fry?
Yeah.
I mean, seriously. I feel so bad for Link.
At least Prince traces all up and down these dungeons. At least Princess Peach bakes a cake and gives him, like, a kiss on the cheek.
Yeah! Like, I mean, although Peach is a frigid bitch, too. Like, come on.
Hey.
I know this
the
is...
longer, the longer they hold out.
Eventually, the plumber's gonna be like, no, fuck you, princess. I found Rihanna, and guess what? All I had to do is, like, fix her plumbing.
Once.
And, she let me fix her plumbing, if you know what I'm saying.
I fixed her plumbing, and then she got rid of a clog in my pipe.
I'm just saying.
Oh, snap. Oh, I just went there.
All right, yours was better than mine.
Yes, it was.
I'll give you that.
Love being a pervert.
You are such a pervert.
I am. But it works for me.
But no, I would have already been up and down on that game if I had had it on my iPad, because that's where I do the type of gaming that I enjoy on the Nintendo system. You know, most of the games that I've really enjoyed playing over there are the puzzlers, and I prefer puzzling on my iPad, which is why I keep those games over there, my tower defense games, my puzzle-solving games, and my books are all on my iPad. And so even though I have a 3DS, I haven't touched my Animal Crossing town in...
And it's covered in weaves and all your...
3 months.
Almost all my people hate you.
It's covered in weeds. They are not happy. Flowers are dying everywhere. It's going to take forever for me to get, like, a perfect city. It's just not going to happen.
Don't ever aim for a perfect city.
Because it's not going to happen.
They don't exist.
No, they do. You can get it, but it's not going to happen. It's just not happening. I haven't even done all the expansions on my house yet.
Oh, man, you can't have a perfect city if you don't have the perfect house.
No, because I have the side room on the left, the side room on the right, the room
Do you have the back room in the back and the front room in the front?
I have the back room in the back and the front room in the front. Then, upstairs, I just have the one room, so I haven't done the left, back, or right expansion on the second floor. And I don't have a basement yet, so I haven't done the basement.
So you can't hide bodies yet.
So, and I haven't done the left, back, right expansions on those.
How about the up, down, up, down, left, right rooms?
No, you can't do those.
Lame.
It's lame sauce.
Lame sauce.
I know. So, you know, I hope that this is enough of a wake-up call for Nintendo to really figure out what they're going to have to do, and it's going to be that they need to get into the smartphone game. Now, it's uncomfortable, because it means that the decades-long standing of how they've done business, which is force people onto their hardware to play their games, they're going to have to amend that, and they're going to have to use the right pricing that's going to be both...
fair and profitable.
Even a creative for them, but also be a low enough barrier for entry for the consumers to want to do it. Because I'm not going to buy the original Super Mario Brothers game to play on my iOS device for $15 when I know that I can get it for $5 on the 3DS. Like, you've got to have fair pricing.
Right.
But if you do this smart and you focus on maybe just your legacy virtual console games and, you know, give people a taste with some of your entry point games, like a Pokemon game. Maybe it's not Black and White or X and Y, but you give a Pokemon game that you can play and then introduce and be like, yeah, if you want to continue playing these, you can get on the 3DS. Da-da-da-da-da-da. You know how a lot of games have in-game advertising?
Yeah.
As the way to keep their game free? For you, like, there are smart ways that they can get into smartphone, but I think that they need to do it, because if they learn nothing from the sales of these two consoles, the handheld and the home one, is that for the type of gaming and entertainment that they now offer, most people have moved on to smart devices, tablets and smartphones, and that's where you need to be, because that's where they've gone. They're not coming back to platform for that stuff. So that's my take on some new stuff. I hope with all my heart that Nintendo makes some strides to at least, if not smartphone, at least smart tablet, get on that shtick, start making some money, and let me play some awesome games on my tablet. What do you got for the people, Panda?
Actually, I have another game that is on the iOS.
What?
And
You've been playing games? I'm so excited.
Well, I wanted to talk about this game because when I first saw it teased on VGX, I was like, oh, shit. And that was for the first, like, I want to say.
You were like, what?
I was like, oh, shit.
Okay.
For the first 15 seconds. And then I was like, no.
You were like, no,
So, Double Fine. We know Double Fine.
Double Fine. You know what? I'm going to say this right now, and there's a lot of people that are not going to agree with me, but I really didn't think that Brutal Legend was a bad game. I enjoyed it.
Okay.
Just saying.
I'm going to let you have your opinion.
Okay.
So, yes.
Did you finish it, though?
No, I didn't finish
it. Well, then you can't have a judgment.
Then I wasn't going to say anything.
Okay.
I was just going to let you have your opinion.
Because it's not a bad game.
Because I'm not trying to be a dick over here.
You should finish it, though.
So, but Double Fine. Yep, Brutal Legends. They were involved in that. Well, during the VGX, we got a visit from Schaefer.
Yeah!
Who was like, hey guys, that Kickstarter for that project went really, really well.
It kind of sort of did.
We only asked for $400,000 and got like $3.45 million. It did well with, so we're going to show you what we've been doing with that money that you guys so graciously just dumped on us. And they released an idea and a little bit of a playthrough of Broken Age, which is a point-and-click adventure, which we know I've been dabbling more and more in over the last 2 years.
Point-and-click!
Point-and-click adventures. And literally the first thing they tell us is that one of the protagonists was a strong, confident female named Vella. Who happens to be darker-skinned. With dark hair. Who is a part of a village that will sacrifice maidens to this monster of some type. Yeah, exactly. And as luck would have it, in the story, she has now been chosen to be one of these sacrificial maidens. And she's like, you know what? I'm just going to go and kill this monster. I don't know why.
Why don't we just kill the monster? Why don't we sacrifice?
You know what, guys? Logic.
Yeah.
So during her part of the story, she is traveling to this area where this monster dwells and is, you know, hopefully through all this, gaining the abilities that she needs to, you know, take this monster out. Otherwise, he's gonna eat her. And she's, you know, if she gets defeated along the way, you know, the village might suffer his particular wrath. So, but it's really interesting. I was like, oh my god, yes, strong female protagonist, taking charge. I'm totally up. Here's my money. And they're like, and the other protagonist is Elijah Wood.
Wait, what?
Yeah. And that was the big reveal. Like, you don't even know who the other protagonist is. And I'm like, if it's a dude, I'm already a little upset. But it is Elijah Wood.
Wait, why are you upset? I think it's okay if you have a male protagonist and a female protagonist. Because then you get to choose. I mean, that's the basis of every MMORPG.
Well, I mean, you gotta play both stories. It's kind of like Folklore. I don't know if you've ever played Folklore.
Yeah, I played Folklore. I'm fine with that, too. Just the fact that it's not two dudes, like older brother and younger brother.
I liked that game, Two Brothers, actually. That was really cute. I liked Two Brothers. But anyway, I was just like, I thought, I was peaked up. I was salivating at the mouth, like Pavlov's panda. I'm like, yes, yes, yeah, no, no. You know, and don't get me wrong. I think I like the idea of his character in this whole story, too. But I was like, oh man, you totally had me all set up for this epic adventure, you know, that seemed primarily based in, you know, we're gonna give females.
Oh, it doesn't have to be just a female thing.
No,
just
but I would have liked it.
Yes, but just as long as there is a strong female lead.
In Beyond Good and Evil, the lead protagonist, does she have to share her protagonist title with anybody?
Yeah, there are missions that you do as the pig.
Oh, okay.
Who's her sidekick? Absolutely.
But but you said sidekick.
Yeah,
he's
because
not
you
a
know, because
protagonist.
Yeah, but he starts to become one.
He's integral to the plot of the game.
Yes.
And the interface and how you do things, but he is not necessarily a protagonist.
No. Yeah, he does, because if you take his stuff out, then the story doesn't move along.
Okay. Well, then, all right, then. At least, but he's a pig.
I refer to him as a sidekick because their dynamic is so traditionally ham of...
Sorry.
Yeah, but seriously, straight girl to obstinate guy.
Okay. I just...
But...
I'm not saying it's horrible, just they led me off with this great, great bit. And then, like, oh, man, but we're going to tease the thing that you should be more psyched about is that Elijah Wood is in this game.
Look, you
like,
gotta...
Like, that's where my problem is.
You gotta remember they're playing to the room. Okay, as much as we are a part of the community, the majority of the community is...
sausage.
Thank you. Okay? And the majority of the community is not going to be like, all rah, 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 here we go.
Yeah.
If the only tidbit that they're given is that you're playing this badass chick. Okay? I wish the community was like that. A big chunk of them are, but that's not the whole. It's not the majority.
Okay.
Okay? The majority can get around, hey, you're going to be able to be Frodo. Not, you're going to be able to be this kick-ass, bomb-ass chick who's like, fuck what you heard. I'm not going to go and die just because.
I'm not going to go and sacrifice myself for this. I'm just going to go kill the monster so we can all live.
I got places to be. Let's just kill this thing and be done. Okay?
All right.
They're not. So, I'm not saying you don't have the right to be a little crestfallen.
I'm a little crestfallen. Do, but just a little.
But the fact that they came out and they led off with the, this is the story, and here's one of your protagonists, and they led off with this strong badass bitch, as opposed to it just being Elijah Wood, and then we find out later, oh yeah, and there's also the strong
chick. And mind you, they're teenagers.
Okay.
So like they'll... But anyway, so the whole premise of this game is that
tell me about this game.
You've got these two pinnacle parts of different timelines going on because they are not in the same
timeline.
They're not in the same world per se.
Ooh, okay.
So Vella, this girl, is, you know, in on a planet with tribes. You know, their civilization is not necessarily technologically advanced, okay, really, for what they do. And Shay, who is played by Elijah Wood, he was on a planet that got, I believe, blown up.
Ooh,
it got destroyed.
That's hard.
And as it was getting destroyed, like Superman, he got put onto this vessel as a little kid. I want to say he's probably like a baby or like young, like little.
Was
like
his maybe... name Kal-El? Cause
no.
There's a lawsuit there.
His name is Shay. And anyway, this spaceship that he gets put on is designed to take care of him because it obviously, I guess it got programmed to the fact that it's like, you're going to be kind of like its mother. Like the ship becomes Shay's mother and literally like it's painted all with like happy sunshine and rainbows and kid stuff.
Aww.
And it launches off into space and this is meant to be how he exists for the rest of his life. And you see him grow up. And mind you, the inside of the ship doesn't change just because you do. So here is this teenage boy in this, you know, preschool-esque looking spaceship that feeds him the same, you know, type of cereal, you know, kid cereal every day and encourages him to take naps and doesn't want him to really ever look outside and just stay in here where I can protect you, you know, and he's been going for the motions for a while, but eventually
he wants to see some titties.
He decides he wants to go on an adventure.
To see some titties.
And that's where that whole thing develops. And he manages to outwit this spaceship mothering computer analysis thing, manages to get away from it, and launches off and does, in fact, go out adventuring. And
see some titties.
I don't think it's about titties.
I think it's always anyway, about titties, Amanda.
But the great thing about this Broken Age is somehow through that exploration, he is going to, or they are going to encounter the protagonist lines of Vella and Shay, which I'm really curious to see how they're going to do this. They just released Act 1 to anyone who was a backer. And that was back on the 14th of January. So this was like last week that happened. There will be a second act, too. And you'll actually hear some familiar voices in Broken Age. You'll actually hear Jack Black in Broken Age. He is a player in there, and I'm not going to spoil as to
who it is. Jack Black.
Now, I do want to go a little bit into receptions, because a lot of reviews that I have come across, and I'm in the midst of writing my own, a lot of people feel like we are being presented with half of a game. And a lot of people are a little disheartened by that because they, if they were backers or not, you know, were expecting with, you know, the amount of money that they were given through, you know, Kickstarter, that the game could have been or could have presented an even better foot forward than it has already. So, like, Metacritic, some based off their reviews, it got, like, an 83 out of 100, which isn't necessarily bad. I think the lowest rating it got was from Eurogamer, which was about a 7 out of 10, which still is not a horrible game.
7 means it's above average, guys.
Yeah. But, I mean, so, I mean, most of them sit in that 80 to 90% range.
Which isn't bad.
Which for a half a game, air quotes here, guys, for half a game, you're telling me that it's a 9? Then I'm assuming that with Act 2, you're going to get that last 10%, and it's just going to be a perfect game. And there is, as much as I hate to say this, and I think we've said this several times before on this show, there is no such thing as the perfect game.
Correct.
We're never going to get a perfect game, and nope. We should stop striving to...
It's not that you shouldn't start striving to make the perfect game. It's that people have to stop rating games as if every single game out is supposed to be the perfect game, so they chop it down when it's not.
Yeah, alright, that's better. Okay. I like that better.
You should always strive to make the best game ever.
You should strive to make the best game you can make.
Okay, and it's okay if it falls short here and there on the pursuit of it being perfect. Like, I feel like Mass Effect is one of those games that everybody on those teams worked to make it the best gaming experience you ever had. Okay?
I agree.
Now, where it fell off a little bit was that some people didn't like the ending because they expected it to go one way and it didn't really go that way.
Well, you know what? If you're really all that mad, how about you get off your ass?
Make your own
game. And you make a dev house and you make the game the way that you want to make your game. Get the skills and do it yourself if it doesn't ever
happen. But I feel like, you know, that and games like Beyond Good and Evil and, you know, that all games, everyone that's working on them is working on them to make the best gaming experience ever. And that, you know, either because technologically you're not able to get there and make it happen, or, you know, you ran out of time and had to cut some things short, so you weren't able to really spend the time on a
maybe you didn't level you didn't accrue, or you didn't allot your budget effectively enough to...
You know, there are all kinds of real-world things that impede a game, and unfortunately, because this is a business again, make it so that things have to get out the door that maybe aren't as polished as everyone wanted them to, but they were good enough for the game to still be a great game. Maybe not the perfect game, but a great game. There's nothing wrong with playing and having a great game. I think the Uncharted series of games are great games. I wouldn't call a single Uncharted game perfect.
No, neither would I.
Okay. I think...
There were several times where I was trying to punch during multiplayer, and I'm like, you're not punching. And then I would get blown up by grenades, and this is an Uncharted world. So, yes, it is not a perfect game.
Okay, so I agree that... You know, a lot of times games get knocked down for not being the perfect game. And we, as players, have to understand that there isn't a perfect game.
No.
Even in your mind and nostalgically, where you're like, that was the best game ever.
If you go back to it now, you're going to be like, this is not the best game ever.
No, there's the fun things that you remember. And, you know, because of the experience you had or what you were doing or who you were with when you enjoyed it, that amplified it even more. And turn that good game into a great game, into a great memory, and nostalgically, the best game ever. You know, I haven't played the best game ever, but I have played a lot of great games. And I've played even more good games. And I've played even more meh games.
I've played a lot of meh games.
But you know what? I still find the nuggets of enjoyment in each of those types of games and pull them forward. You know, I think, to be honest, full on, the only, like, horrible game that I ever played...
was? Since we're on this conversation.
Was probably the Michael Jackson game.
Really?
Not the experience.
Moonwalker?
Yes.
Really? You didn't like it? Hee hee! Woo! Really? Wow, nothing? Oh, wow. I can feel the pain in your voice. All right. Wow.
It hurts me to say it, but I... Because I never played E.T. the game, so I can't say that it was the most horrible game.
Well, I never played it either, but okay, there's a landfill that proves sure how bad that
exactly.
game is.
Exactly, and I'm sure if I'd ever played, I would have been like, that one! But for me, it was, yeah, it was Michael Jackson Moonwalker.
Wow.
It was just not good.
Wow, man.
It's just...
At least you are honest.
It's just not good.
I can easily say And actually, I don't even know if I want to, because now you've kind of exposed my question of the week this week.
Yeah, but it's still a good question, so you should ask it when we get to that point.
Yeah, so I won't even, yeah, but wow.
But I guess my question is, why do people feel all upset that they're getting a half of a game? They basically said that this was going to be, did they come out and say that this game was a Act 1, Act 2 game, or is it a...
They initially stated it was going to be episodic, but so far they've only really announced that this game is going to be done in two parts.
How can you be pissed that you're only getting half a game when you don't even know that this is half? It could only be a quarter.
It could be.
They could have four acts, in which that case, we know exactly where they spent their money.
Could be, but we don't know. But they're speculating.
Why, I hate speculation. I hate it. And I know that we do it here sometimes.
Oh, we do it here all the damn time.
Okay, I know that. And, you know, I cringe sometimes when we do it, but we're only human. But here's my thing. You can't speculate and give something a negative until you know all the facts. Like, you can come and be like, I'm not sure how this is going to go. We'll have to wait and see how it's going to be. And then come back after you've actually had hands-on and be like, yeah, so, thought it was going to totally suck, turned out, totally sucked. I was right, here's why. Boom de boom de boom de boom de boom.
Boom de boom de boom de boom de boom.
Okay? I'm all for that, I'll support it, even if I don't agree with it. Hey, you've done your homework. But what I don't think is fair is for you to get a possible quarter, possible eighth of a game, and be like, whoa! Where'd my money go? I don't even know what's going on here. I got this half of a game and it kind of sucks and it's short. And like, you don't know. So,
hey, I'm totally pissed about me getting the season's pass for Walking Dead Season 2 when they've only released the first fucking episode.
All right.
Get over it.
You know how we feel about The Wolf Among Us.
Oh, come on, Telltale.
Pretty much that. I don't even know how to describe
Stop
that.
Stop fucking around with me. I want to give you my money. If I throw it harder, will you give it to me? That sounded horrible. That sounded I'm sorry. Really, I'm sorry,
that's
everybody.
That's such a horrible soundbite.
That's a horrible soundbite for me.
To give people.
Ow, that hurts.
Yeah. Do you want some topical tune for that?
No.
I'm good. You want a little, just a little Benadryl?
No.
Because... Yeah, that's gonna bite you.
Damn it.
And you did it to yourself, Panda.
Self-inflicted. Self-inflicted panda brutality.
So what do you enjoy most about the game?
So, well, for one, I really love this idea of this strong, young, confident female protagonist. Like, when they were first teasing it, you only saw Vella. So I was like, oh, yeah. Because then all those happy feelings started coming back in my panda heart. You know,
grow three sizes that day?
It grew, yeah. And then I remembered Sheva from, you know, Resident Evil 5.
Aww.
Not the AI Sheva, because she can walk off a bridge, because she just wasted all of my healing herbs. I hated her, which is why I never played Chris. Refused to do it.
Yeah, I had to take that game back because you never played with me, and I wasn't going to play by myself.
No, I know. And it made me think of Fran from Final Fantasy XII, who was the chocolate brown bunny, Faunus.
Is her name Fran or is it Fan?
I think it's technically the way you said it, but I just call her Fran. Okay. She was a cute brown bunny archer. Granted, she barely wore anything, but she barely got hit with...
Yeah, she was a sexy archer bunny.
She very rarely... A Vella. They were Vellas, I think, actually, which is kind of funny. But, she barely got hit with arrows, so it was totally okay that she just wore, like, a shattered and shred, like, bikini with
some... Yeah, I was basically just like, these are my boobs. They're mostly kind of sort of covered on the nipples.
But it gave me... I was like, oh, yay. Yay. And, I mean, the animation style is very fresh and unique, and I'm like I said, I've been giving more attention to point-and-click adventures within the last 2 years, so there are games there and there are stories there that deserve some attention, and I feel like Broken Age definitely is in there. I don't know where in the pack yet, but that's just because it just got released. I don't know what else we will get.
Does it have an iOS or Android component?
It is available on the Windows, on the iOS, Android, and Ouya. And I think Linux right now too. Ouya.
You just like completely just want to disavow.
I want to disavow that vowel. Get it? Corny joke.
Wow.
Yeah. But it has all of those. Yeah, so Android, Linux, OS, the OX, OS X operating system.
Yes.
Windows and
iOS. Okay, just like pretend that just like bang somebody and you're going for the Pepperidge Farms.
Man.
And you're like, ooh yeah.
Do you know that?
Stop it.
Tangent. I call it.
Oh,
the fact that you brought that up, that when Ted came out and that line, that first line, I died because I was in the theater with my then at the time boyfriend, who I'm no longer talking to because.
Yep, moving on.
Whatever. I looked at him and I just started to die because I can recall that anytime stuff was going down. Afterward, like, I always brought, like, snacks with me because we'd, like, hang out, play games, and watch movies and stuff for hours at a time. And after sexy times were over, I always ate Milano cookies. And I was like, fucking Ted, fucking Seth MacFarlane, why is he spying on me? Milano cookies are fucking good, okay?
Milano cookies are the shit.
And Sausalito, and sometimes Sausalito.
Yo, Sausalitos are the bomb.
So, don't be talking about how Bostonian women, you know, don't be calling us on our shit.
I'm not calling them on their
shit. No, but he was like, hey, Bostonians, we know what you do after sexy times. It's eat Pepperidge Farm. Farm.
Oh, you did it. No, he wasn't saying, hey, you New England people. You gotta remember, Seth's from here. He went to RISD.
I know.
He's from here. That's why he knows.
So he's been dating Bostonian New England chicks who have all been eating Pepperidge Farm.
He's been all up on the New England chicks, because that's where he's from. He speaks of home, Panda.
Well, he should talk about it in a much better light. Like,
a better light for that. I'm sorry. Not a better light for that.
Ooh, man, you are so hot. Now, can you pass me those double chocolate Milano cookies, please?
I need the Sausalitos.
I need some sugar.
Oh, yeah.
Hot. By the way, it's very true. End of tangent.
Oh, your tangent.
It's so embarrassing.
They're so fun, Panda.
Because they're so knee-deep in my realness.
Sure, that's one way of putting it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Mm.
Realness. What they're knee deep in. Sure. Yeah. So, any expected date for the next chapter?
Of Broken Age? They have not released it yet,
no. Well, I think I'm going to have to check it out because, frankly, you know, I enjoy some of the things that Double Fine has done. And like I said, I enjoyed Brutal Legend. I would have liked it if you were actually able to use guitars like they said you were going to do, and it was a little bit more about music, but the game itself was very challenging. It took me a while to actually finish the game.
I remember.
And, you know, I didn't think it was bad. I think that it probably has one of the best opening start screens that I've had the privilege of.
The privilege?
Yeah, the privilege.
Privilege?
Yeah, the privilege. Look, I have been eating papitas, all right? So, you know, there's a little bit of stagger in my swagger, if you will.
Okay.
But it was one of the more clever and interesting select screens that I had seen and interacted with in games in a long time. And a lot of love went into that game, and it's just, you know, evident of the things that Double Fine does. So I have a lot of confidence in, with all the money they were given for doing the project, it's probably going to be a project that's going to evolve. I imagine that's probably was slated for being like a 4-episode thing, and then when all that money came in, they went, okay, we're going to make this thing even more episodic and even more rich, and how can we do that and bring it to more platforms than they probably intended to begin with, because programming for Linux and the macOS and iOS and Android and Windows
and then
is not easy.
No, and then. Okay.
So it takes a lot of hard work to make all that happen and to make it work, and a big chunk of money. So for the people who are like, where'd my money go? That's where it went. Multi-platform distribution. Deal with it, bitch. I'm going to try it. I'll let you know what I come up with.
Okay.
So then I guess it's time for the question of the week. What was last week's question of the week, Panda?
We had asked if you guys thought that if CES was on its last legs.
And?
And no one gives a fuck.
Oh, surprise. Like, I guess that means yes.
Literally nobody gives a fuck.
Zero fucks were given. About that question.
So if it like was shot in the face, if CES got shot in the face right now, no one would go to the funeral.
No.
Maybe the people from the ITACH would go.
Yeah, the ITACH people were like, it was so sad.
It's like, they gave us our chance.
And they would probably leave an ITACH in the coffin.
They would they'd probably put an ITACH right on the gaping gun hole shot in hopes that it would revive CES.
But it won't.
But that, pretty much no one gives a fuck.
No one gave any fucks.
No one gave any fucks about CES. Okay. And frankly, I don't blame them.
No.
No. I don't.
So hey, we didn't go, so that pretty much answered it.
So
from us.
Out with the old, in with the new.
I like where you're going, Panda. What do you got?
This week's question, since you kind of tapped on it a little bit earlier today.
Oh, I tapped
today,
it. I tapped it.
You tapped on it a little bit.
I tapped it like
I
that.
I wanted to know what your favorite childhood game was.
Ooh, favorite childhood game.
Yes.
And well, I didn't say what my favorite was.
No,
I said what my least favorite
but
was.
But you had played it when you were a kid, and probably then you were like, oh man, Michael Jackson video game, I'm on it, which is why you played it and then said, oh no. So it was childhood related. That's where the linkage is coming
look,
in.
I did tap around that.
You
I'm
did tap?
Ta-
that's why I said
but
you tapped
I, but
on
I didn't
it.
Answer it, so I'll be able to talk to you and answer it next week.
So like favorite childhood game. I want to know what console it was on and what it was. So there it is for you.
Okay.
And I can't make it any easier.
And how can people answer this
you
question?
You can answer it on our Facebook page when I drop the question this week. You can see it on Vogue Network when our podcast feed for them goes out. And that's on Tuesdays because that goes off at 8, I think, Eastern time.
Eastern time.
I said Eastern and not time. Eastern Standard because that's different and not a thing, apparently. And
it's a thing,
you can
not now.
You can also answer it on Twitter over by mentioning ESH News and using the hashtag #eshquestion. It's easier for me to find
hashtag
it.
Hashtag #eshquestion. Hashtag it's the real deal.
Yeah.
Hashtag just do it.
Yeah. And I mean, you can always directly Twitter me too at Lady Esh. I don't have a problem with that either. I will accept that.
No, just mention at ESH News. Say, here's my Esh question answer. You know, the hashtag. And give us your answer. Yeah. Very simple.
Super awesome. But there are multiple ways for you to get your answers to me. They have to be in before Saturday of this week for me to be able to put them in the show.
That's right.
Because if you have an opinion that you want me to read and talk about, then you have to give it to me. Because I don't know what you think. If you don't tell me what your opinion is, I can't
you
generate one for you.
You have to give it to Panda. Otherwise, she can't do it for you.
Shut up.
That's what you said.
I wonder what I'm really thinking about.
Oh, goodness.
Freudian slip much?
Oh, my goodness.
Fuck, man.
Oh.
Literally. Oh, I'm shutting up now.
Panda, you know what? We're going to call it a week. So make sure that you check out our podcast show. Every week we put these out on Tuesday for your listening pleasure. You can catch the podcast on Vogue Network. You can catch the podcast on our website, www.electricsisterhood.com. You can also get it in the Microsoft Store, the iTunes Store, and the iOS podcast application by searching for Eshcast and hitting subscribe. You can also get our show through Stitcher, because
yeah,
we're
there
on
now.
Stitcher. So make sure that you search us out and subscribe to make sure that you get our brand new episodes the moment we put them out. From the rest of the team making up the Land of Esh, there are more podcasts filling your nerd needs during the week. We've got a brand new episode of No Borders, No Race, held down by our homeboy King Baby Duck. It's alt and indie, music, entertainment, movies. It's just a groove, man. You gotta check it out. And make sure, if there's something that you want to learn how to say in Japanese, email them for Sawa Says to tell you how to say it. What? It's crazy. You can learn Japanese, like a word or phrase at a time. It's kind of cool. Then, because Hump Day needs a little oomph in it.
It needs a oomph, oomph, oomph. Okay, I'm stopping for real.
That's where Geek Aggro comes in, held down by our boy, Deuces Wild.
EDM, trap music, new, proved, great mix list. You want to make sure that you check it out. If you want to find out where the groove is at, it's at Geek Aggro on Wednesday. And Thursday, rounding out our show roster, if you've got issues...
He's got issues.
Y'all can have issues together. The Issues Program, call in live, ask questions, get them answered, or at least addressed, or at least talked to, or hey, at least you heard on the internet. That's the Issues Guy. All game, all nerd. Maybe some sci-fi. Throw it all up in there. See what happens. Mix it around. For the rest of you nerd neat, like we said, we're on Facebook, facebook.com/landofesh. We're on Twitter at ESH News, and we're upon the interwebs in all of our glories all over the place. So interact with us. We really enjoy it. We do.
We do.
We do.
We really do.
So as always, I'm Ninja Sista.
And I'm Pandalicious.
And we're out till next week, guys.
See you later.